This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharisa, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 198 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. Adrian Peterson was one of the most process-over-results plays of all time last week. I talked about him as someone that you should sit on last week's podcast, and in Week 13, he ran for 98 yards and a touchdown. But he had 90 of those yards on one carry. It's the perfect example of not really feeling that bad about a pick where the result didn't go your way. Because clearly the process was right. And the same thing happened with Tyler Boyd, if we're being honest. I didn't like Boyd's matchup at all against Chris Harris this past week, but Chris Harris got hurt. Sometimes that'll happen. It doesn't mean the choice to bench Boyd or to not use Tyler Boyd was a bad one. But outside of that, things were pretty decent from a results standpoint in Week 13. I really like Jameis Winston and Lamar Jackson, and both of them came through. I was down on Baker Mayfield, and he threw a touchdown with three interceptions, and Tom Brady wasn't amazing either. Tariq Cohen ended up being the week's RB1, Adam Humphries was strong, Calvin Ridley couldn't do anything against Baltimore, and Bruce Ellington far outperformed where he was being ranked. He may only see a few yards per target, but my man Bruce Ellington is getting fed. If you like 8-catch 30-yard performances, then you love Bruce Ellington. I missed a few too, like Josh Reynolds and the Rams tight ends, but overall, it was a pretty solid week. Before we look at Week 14, I just wanted to remind you guys to head on over to FanDuel.com and check out the Thursday night special contest for tonight's game between the Jags and the Titans. I mean, it's probably going to be a fairly boring game, so why wouldn't you play on FanDuel to make it more interesting? Just go to FanDuel.com and make a freaking lineup. Andrew Luck had a rough outing in Week 13 with fewer than 10 fantasy points. Sometimes that happens. He was also on the road against a Jacksonville defense that we know at least has the talent to do what they did last week against the Colts. Indy is on the road again this week, but they're going up against Houston. The Texans are 11th best in the league at preventing fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks, but you've got to give that some context. On the season, they face just two quarterbacks who you're looking to start each week in fantasy, those two being Tom Brady and Andrew Luck. In those games, Brady scored 21 fantasy points, and Andrew Luck scored 36. Here are the rest of the starting quarterbacks to face the Texans this year. Are you ready? Blaine Gabbert, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Josh Allen, Cody Kessler and Blake Bortles, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Alex Smith and Colt McCoy, Marcus Mariota, and Baker Mayfield this past week. It's actually kind of shocking that they're basically average in fantasy points against. So I think Luck, who's back inside a dome, has a bounce-back game this week. It's a defense that can obviously generate pressure, but the Colts' offensive line has been strong this year, so I think Luck is going to be just fine. Baker Mayfield struggled against that Texans defense this past week, but I think he's in a good spot in Week 14. Carolina's secondary is not good. They're a bottom 5-1 according to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted metrics, and over their last five games, only Matthew Stafford has failed to finish as a top 10 quarterback against them. And Matthew Stafford doesn't finish as a top 10 quarterback against anybody. This game is being played in Cleveland, and the Panthers are just a one-point favorite. That should keep things interesting and close, and against this pass defense, Mayfield shouldn't have much trouble. The deeper play this week has to be Josh Allen. He's been a top 5 option in each of the last two games thanks to rushing totals of 99 and 135 yards. He's sort of running for his life behind that offensive line, but his athletic ability is giving him a nice floor in fantasy football. And this week, he's facing a Jets defense that, as I mentioned on my 15 transactions show earlier in this week, they've given up 17 plus fantasy points in all but one of their last 9 games. So Allen has the upside with his legs, but he's also sort of got even more with his arm given the defense that he's facing. I don't think he has a safe floor whatsoever, but his ceiling is as high as almost any other quarterback this week and moving forward in fantasy football. I was a little surprised to see Jared Goff ranked as the QB10 this week on Fantasy Pros. I could see it if they were playing at home, but playing in Chicago will not be easy on Jared Goff, and the Bears defense, as we know, is arguably the league's best. They're third best in net yards per attempt allowed, and NumberFire has them as the sixth best secondary in football. And Goff hasn't really been that great of a fantasy asset on the road this year. He scored 17 points in Oakland in Week 1, he posted just 14 in Seattle in Week 5, he had 7 in Denver in Week 6, he had 16 in Week 7 against San Francisco, and then we saw him post a dud against Detroit last week in Detroit. The only road game where he's been a top 10 quarterback was against New Orleans, and this game certainly isn't setting up to be a shootout. So I think Jared Goff is more of a mid-range QB2 when he's being ranked as a QB1. And then there's Russell Wilson, who's going to be at home against Minnesota. Wilson has been hyper-efficient this year. He's got an 8.9% touchdown rate, which is legitimately out of this world. It's insane. But that's troubling against Minnesota because the Vikings don't allow a lot of passing touchdowns. In fact, no team has allowed fewer passing scores this year than the Minnesota Vikings. So that combo makes me nervous about Russell Wilson. Like Jared Goff, I think Wilson is more of a mid-range QB2 instead of the QB1 that he's being ranked as. He's fine, I'm just worried about his real upside. And I would be playing Jameis Winston, Andrew Luck, and probably Lamar Jackson over Russell Wilson and Jared Goff this week. Dalvin Cook has really had a strange year between his injury and some pretty inefficient numbers on the ground. But I think this is a really underrated spot for him this week. Seattle's been pretty bad of late against opposing running backs. They faced pretty good ones over their last four or so weeks, like Melvin Gordon, Todd Gurley, Aaron Jones, and Christian McCaffrey. But their performance against Jeff Wilson last week should sort of make you feel more comfortable about this matchup. But what's most important for Cook is that he's seeing a lot of work through the air. And Seattle's been bad against opposing running backs as receivers. They've allowed the second most receiving yards to the position, and only the Chargers have given up a higher percentage of receiving yards to running backs than Seattle has. Considering Dalvin Cook is coming off a 10-target game, that's something that can be exploited by the Vikings. So he's a good play with a nice high floor in PPR formats this week. I feel like I've got to talk about Jalen Samuels and Stephen Ridley after bringing them up on my 15 Transactions show earlier in the week. And after having some discussions on Twitter, I also just want to be clear about where I stand with both of these players. As I noted earlier in the week, I do expect a split backfield. I expected that before the Steelers came out and said that. Maybe it's not a 50-50 split, but I think the Steelers are serious about utilizing both Ridley and Samuels. And like I said as much on Tuesday's show. But that doesn't mean that I prefer Stephen Ridley over Jalen Samuels, or that I think Ridley is anything more than a deeper play. Jalen Samuels is an athletic player with lots of upside, and he's the clear pass catcher between the two running backs. Considering the Steelers have a near 2-to-1 pass-to-rush attempt ratio this season, that benefits Jalen Samuels dramatically. They're the most pass-friendly team in football. The big question in my eyes is who will receive the goal line work. If it's Samuels, then you've got yourself a fringe RB1. If it's Ridley who gets those touches, then Jalen Samuels becomes more of a lower-end RB2. In an ideal world, you want your running backs in fantasy to be the primary pass catchers, as well as the ones who are getting touches close to the end zone. So that's sort of where I'm at. Unfortunately, we can't just lock Jalen Samuels in with a James Conner workload, and the ambiguity at the goal line makes him a tad riskier than he probably needs to be. But if you have Conner and you have to play Samuels, I certainly don't think he's a bad play. And if you're in true desperation mode, Stephen Ridley may be okay as long as the Steelers pull out to a big lead. If you're not in a PPR league, I think a case can be made for Justin Jackson over Jalen Samuels this week. You've got the Chargers playing at home, and they're facing one of the worst defenses in football. And it's a defense that's allowed the most fantasy points to running backs this year. We also got a quote from Anthony Lynn this week saying that Austin Eckler is, quote, wearing down since he plays special teams as well. Considering Jackson ran so well against the Steelers, I wouldn't be shocked at all if he sees a decent workload in this game. To me, he's a lower-end RB2, and like I said, I really do think that you can make the argument that he's a better play than Jalen Samuels this week. Jeff Wilson is another one of those waiver wire darlings that we had this week, and I don't mind him as a start. The 49ers are facing the Broncos, who aren't necessarily an easy matchup, but it's not a super scary one. They've given up the 7th most rushing yards to backs this year. And what's really most important for running back performance is usage. And if last week's any indication, Wilson should get a decent-sized workload. In Week 13, he had 15 carries and 9 targets. You've got to love seeing that much volume through the air. With Matt Breida sidelined, there's really not a lot of good competition for volume in the 49ers offense. So Wilson is totally fine in that same tier with Samuels and Justin Jackson. Spencer Ware saw a very nice 69% of Kansas City snaps last week while replacing Kareem Hunt, but he just wasn't that effective. He had a 16.7% success rate, and his success rate on the year is under 30%. Those are horrible numbers. And for those of you who are unaware, success rate measures the percentage of positive expected points runs made by a running back. It's all derived from NumberFire's expected points model. So Ware hasn't been very good. And then the team signs Charcandrick West, and the Chiefs are facing Baltimore this week. The Ravens have been good against opposing rushers all year long. Only the Saints have allowed fewer yards to the running back position, and no team has given up fewer fantasy points. And that's while facing some pretty good fantasy running backs as well. So I can't say that I really like Spencer Ware this week. There are a lot of question marks, and I think that he's riskier than most. Jordan Howard is like eating on a diet. You keep eating the same bland food, but you're only doing it because you have no other choice. You're doing it because you got to drop those pounds. With Howard, a lot of you just don't have an alternative. But he's bad in fantasy. He's averaging just one target per game over his last nine contests, and over this time, he's also averaging just 48 rushing yards per game. Against the Rams, just given the matchup, I would expect them to use Tariq Cohen more. Howard needs to find the end zone to be fantasy relevant, and that's not what I want to trust in the fantasy football playoffs. Larry Fitzgerald has not been reliable at all in fantasy football this year, going for over 50 yards just once since week one. He's found the end zone in four of his last six games, but that's not something that you can really bank on with Josh Rosen under center. But there are a couple of things working in Fitz's favor this week. Christian Kirk's season is now over, which could hypothetically funnel more targets Fitzgerald's way. But against Detroit, Fitz's slot matchup is kind of nice. Detroit's allowed, according to Pro Football Focus's data, the second most slot yards in the league this year. I don't think Fitzgerald has a crazy high ceiling, but this may be a week where he provides a better than expected floor. Another player with an interesting slot matchup is Anthony Miller. Mitch Trubisky should be back this week, and that should give a boost to the Bears' passing offense. And the Rams, their opponent, have allowed the fifth most slot yards in the league this year. Meanwhile, Anthony Miller has run over 67% of his routes from the slot. So if the Bears do indeed trail in this game, there could be more passing, and that volume could go to Miller given the matchup. I'm a lot less afraid of the Broncos' defense now that Chris Harris is out for the year, and that makes Dante Pettis a reasonable option this week. He's moving all over the field for San Francisco, and he's seen 20 targets over his last three games. Now, Marquise Goodwin could return this week, but I don't think that necessarily means Pettis is a bad play. Goodwin stretches the field and could actually open things up for Pettis. So if you're somewhat desperate, Pettis is totally fine in my eyes. And then I've got to talk about my man Bruce Ellington. He just keeps getting ranked really low on Fantasy Pros, and I don't get it. I just feel obligated to bring him up. I mean, we can't ask for much more from a volume standpoint. He's seen 9, 7, and 10 targets over his last three games. If you're in a PPR format, he's going to give you at least something. It may not be a lot because of his 3.3 average depth of target, but I don't really understand the low ranking that he sees week in and week out. Tyler Lockett is breaking math. You guys can say I'm beating a dead horse with this, but he's 100% breaking math. And this is coming from someone who loved Tyler Lockett entering the year. You can go back to my week 1 15 transactions podcast and hear me talk about buying Tyler Lockett. But what he's doing isn't sustainable. He's catching a touchdown on every 4.9 receptions when the league average at wide receiver this year is a touchdown on every 11.6 catches. And like I said with Russell Wilson earlier, the Vikings have allowed the fewest passing touchdowns in the league this year. They've also allowed a wide receiver to rank higher than 20th just five times this season. Three of those instances were against one team, the Los Angeles Rams. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, and Brandon Cooks all finished in the top 16 in week four. And then the other two instances were against Davante Adams, both of them. That's it. Those are the only players to hit 15 PPR points against the Vikings this season. All of this logically makes Tyler Lockett a rough play in week 14. Of course, he's just going to end up catching three balls for two scores, but hey, process over results, right? Tyler Boyd is a risky play this week as well. The Chargers have been a top 8 team against slot receivers this year in terms of yards allowed, which does not bode well for Tyler Boyd. And then on top of that, AJ Green's not going to be playing, so coverage won't be easy, and Jeff Driscoll is Cincinnati's quarterback. So I would be nervous about starting Tyler Boyd. Vance McDonald has a great matchup this week against Oakland. Only Kansas City has given up more receiving yards to opposing tight ends than the Raiders have, but over 30% of the receiving yards allowed by Oakland have gone to tight ends. That's the highest rate in the league. So McDonald, to me, is a top 10 play this week. No team has allowed more touchdowns to tight ends than Carolina, and only two teams have given up more receptions. David Njoku has at least five targets in three of his last four games, and he's also a red zone threat. Maybe this is the week for David Njoku. But as we know, David Njoku is not a safe play. But I do think the upside is there. If you want to dig a little bit deeper at tight end, I think that Ian Thomas could also be in play. The matchup is fine against Cleveland, and Thomas saw five targets against Tampa Bay last week with Greg Olsen not in the lineup. Earlier in the season, towards the end of Olsen's first injury, Thomas started to get a little bit more involved in the offense. He had a couple of five-plus target games, and he ran a lot of routes last week as well. So I think all of that means that he's not a bad streaming option against Cleveland. Sam Darnold will be under center for the Jets this week, but it shouldn't matter all that much for Buffalo's defense. In Darnold's nine starts this year, he's averaged 1.6 interceptions per game while taking 2.3 sacks per contest. Buffalo's at home and they're favorites in a game with a low over-under. It really doesn't get much better than this. Another defensive streamer to use this week is the New York Giants. And really, the reason for using them can be summed up in two words. Mark Sanchez. I don't love that they're road underdogs, but it's hard to not use a defense facing a third-string quarterback who's proven to be a mess at the NFL level. Maybe Sanchez surprises us all, but New York should be fine this week defensively as a streamer. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And make sure you're following me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll be in your ears tomorrow with the Mailbag Show.